Hey, everybody. Welcome in. James Adams and Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast, and we are 1 week away from the ultimate week, the Masters. But Skeeter, we've got an event to look forward to before that, as well as an event to look back at. We get ready for the Charlie Hoffman Open, the Valero Open, the San Antonio Open, if you will. But before we get into that, and I've certainly got plenty of takes for that, let's look back at the match play. You did better than I did. I had three golfers out of the Sweet 16. Now, my bracket did have the winner, but I had pretty much nothing else. I had no action, even with Scheffler lineups on DK. You did a little better than me. I loved the tournament. I didn't love my particular betting and DraftKings outcomes, though.
Yeah, I had to make the Sweet 16 and then Sheamus make the Elite Eight and then DJ make it the Sunday. So even though he lost, I did get both both matches from DJ. But I think the other thing that kind of helped in the end was I had Louis. Not that Louis did anything. He went 1-2. But his one win was the forfeit or the concession from
your boy, Paul Casey.
Yeah, who played two holes and apparently twinged his back. Cause he had won and lost a hole, so it wasn't like he was two down early. But that really affected DraftKings scoring, because what he could see there was a bunch of, I think there were a lot of points. You know, you win the hole and then, or you get the win match points, and then there's bonuses for, you know, winning with holes out being played. So that kind of skewed things a little bit. So if you had anybody in that group that wasn't Paul Casey, that was probably enough for you to cash if you had anybody else.
And I wonder, because the scoring system, it's just different than all the other tournaments we play, right? It's just a different animal when we're talking about the fantasy DFS scoring. FanDuel didn't even run a tournament. My buddy who plays on FanDuel fired me a lineup. He's like, what's up with the people in this field? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a great field. Come to find out, because I don't really go on that site very much. Nothing against it. I just don't. Right. He does. He loves that site. So he was playing Corrales.
Oh.
And I was playing, the match play tournament. So FanDuel decided not even to run a tournament based on the match play, at least from what I've been told. I didn't look at myself, but that just goes to show you, and you proved the perfect point. I mean, Louis lost his two matches he played. The only one he won, you know, the only point he got was via concession, but because the match play scoring is so wonky, I end up only playing five lineups. I normally do 10, but when I got to the same groups, like I already had, which I'm glad I didn't play anymore, because I kept playing Keegan. That didn't go over so well. Kept playing Henley, you know, guys like that who didn't make the final. JT's, Xander. I was all over Xander too, who didn't make the cut. So I'm glad I only played five lineups instead of 10. I still love the tournament. I'm not sure I figured out anything when it comes to the DFS lineup setup of it, though.
No, I only played one. And yeah, I was just like, I just don't want to set all these lineups with all the different rules. I was like, I felt like I'd be doing the same thing where I'd be using the same golfer over and over again. Like, okay, I'm using Sheamus Power as my cheap guy or something like that. So I just eventually just said, you know what? I'm just going to do one this week. And, you know, yeah, won a ticket, min cashed. It was fine.
Min cash with one lineup is great. That's a profit. That's all you need. I hope to find out what that's like again. It's been two bad weeks. I can't have too much anger. I had three top five or top sixes at API, but it's been a barren week, 2 weeks since. So I have nothing more for the match play. Again, I love the tournament. It was very impressive to see Scheffler win a third time in, you know, basically a month and a half. I'll look forward to watching it again next week, next year, but I'm not sure if it's anything more than entertainment for me. I don't know. It's just so different, right?
Yeah, I mean, a couple other thoughts, too. Like, Scheffler, three wins in 6 weeks. Like, these aren't slouch events either. Like, WM Phoenix Open, not top tier, but I think it's a solid field. He won API, great field. And now the match play is just, I mean, the past 2 years, he's lost two matches. One was in the final to Horschel, and he lost in group stage this year. But, man, he plays well match play. And again, Kevin Kisner, my gosh, what a match play beast.
He is. It's unreal, right? You're going to have to put him in next year.
Round 16, three down, four to play against Scott. He sweeps out to win. Like, amazing.
crazy. And now Scotty did bogey 17, but right, I think Kisner went birdie, eagle, par, birdie to take those four holes in a row. And it was the only only match where a player has been down 3-0, I believe they said, ever, or down three holes with four to play and won the match.
Correct.
Guys have won 3 of 4 and tied, but no one has won all four. Kisner is just, he's got that me against you deal where he's, no, you know, he may be afraid of the length, or not afraid. We know he's made the comments about some tournaments he just doesn't, he can't compete because of length, and this is not one of those courses. But also, once he's head-to-head with you, it's like the field's length can be a problem for him, but an individual's length really isn't, because he's just taking on that one player. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a mindset that he's got. It'll be interesting to see if Kisner is in Ryder Cup contention come, what, a year from now, maybe, when they're locking up the team, a year and a half from now. Because I don't know if he'll qualify, but his match play record is going to make you look at him.
I mean, there were some people who thought he should have been in Paris a couple of years ago.
Couldn't have been worse.
I mean, I'm not sure Whistling Straits would have been his jam, but...
Right.
You know, the shorter, tighter European courses seem more like his style, and with his way to win around match play, then yeah, I would assume that he'd have to be in consideration, assuming that he's in any decent form.
Be interesting to see if he's on the Rome team. It'll be interesting to see if a Scheffler-DJ pairing ever happens on the Friday-Saturday components, or are those two too good at match play to pair together?
I don't think so. Weren't they paired together at Whistling Straits?
They might have been. I can't tell you. I remember who was paired together. I just know that they both have impeccable match play records as of late.
Yeah, and DJ, I mean, his form, he's starting to come back. Like, I know he had a tough Sunday, but his form is there.
We're completely erasing the third place match from any show of form, right?
I mean, unless you're Corey Connors, I mean,
I just mean because DJ at that point was no longer playing for anything. I mean, the entire internet was speculating that he would. I think the best comment I saw, somebody said, was not actually true, but DJ, it was DJ with a fake quote saying, "No, we've agreed to have the first 17. We're just going to play 18 for all."
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, damn, that's funny. Because you know DJ's thinking that, like, can we just do whatever? Like, he can't concede it, but at the same time, he's like, let's go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it didn't bother him too much. It was just one way, like, yeah, whatever. Just whatever happens, happens. Like,
right.
He's probably started tuning for Augusta.
Well, are we ready for our final tune-up for Augusta?
Yes.
Well, let's do it, Skeeter. It is the Valero Open, the San Antonio Open, the Charlie Hoffman Open. And Skeeter, we're going to TPC San Antonio. I know it's the Charlie Hoffman Open. I also cannot forget about the Kevin Na 13 or whatever he took the 1 year for just a regular event. I actually have some weird memories of this course. Of course, I'm a big Charlie Hoffman fan. So I have a different angle than probably most people. What are you looking at when you look at TPC San Antonio statistically and the kind of player we're looking for here?
What's interesting, I think we've had some multiple varieties of styles win. Like, we've had Spieth win, but Adam Scott's won. Brendan Steele, who's a hitter, your boy Charlie Hoffman. Corey Connors with that insane
Monday Q win, right?
Monday Q, and he just dominated it. Jimmy Walker's won here, Marty Laird. So, I mean, there's just a ball striker. Oh, our guy Baudo. Forgot about him. Oh, wish he was still playing. The first, what, you know, Baudo should have gotten some honorary pip money because he was the first one to kind of embrace Twitter.
I can't say that I knew that.
Yeah, he was a gem on Twitter. Like, he was just, I mean, because, you know, he had these struggles. But he was just constantly making fun of himself. Like, he was taking it pretty light, you know, pretty lighthearted about it. I think you would have appreciated him.
Yeah. I guarantee you I would, yes. Like, I'm sure I would.
I think things went downhill. I think he got I think it was at the John Deere 1 year. He got a DUI. You know, must have been doing some personal struggles. And haven't really seen him play much since then. I think he might have been on a Corn Ferry event recently. But he was very entertaining on Twitter and still kind of is if you look him up, so...
I will.
But par 72 here, so just a little over 7,400 yards. We've seen over par kind of be the cut here. And this, I don't remember this, but I've heard it enough. Like, there was 1 year, 2014, 2015, where there was a massive wind advantage, where like the AM PM was like 7 over par, the PM AM wave was like -2. Like there was some ridiculous weather wave that happened here. Like I think DJ finished 6th, and he was like one of the very few guys on the AM PM wave to actually make the cut. So that's, I think, where weather, when we look at weather here, I think we kind of, this is one of the first spots that kind of got people's attention for that. But I think the combination of birdies are better, because we're going to see like a -15 winner, and bogey avoidance certainly works. Approach plays into it. Scrambling a little bit, like, these are hard to hit greens, but they're not the most difficult to get up and down with. 4 par 5s have me looking at that. And then the proximity range I'm kind of looking at is 150 to 175. That's where a lot of those mid-irons kind of came into play.
Anything else about the course before we get into the field?
I don't think so. I think the only other thing to kind of mention here is this is the last chance to show up at Augusta next week. Like, and the only way that you get into Augusta, if you're not already playing, is if you win. So it's not like the Open where it's like the top finisher and the top five gets in. No, you got to win. And I know that was heartbreak for us last year.
Not only was it heartbreak, I'm at my sister's house on Sunday having dinner with my mother. My mother has a Spieth ticket. I have the Hoffman ticket. So the good news is we both know we're hitting our top six. My win ticket paid a lot more, and my sister's harassing me for cheering against my mom's bet. I'm like, my bet pays way more. What's going on here? It was a very heartbreaking Sunday, I assure you. It was a fun Sunday, though. I will say that.
Was it Easter Sunday last year? I don't remember.
Might have been. That sounds right. I mean, I was at my sister's having dinner, so more than likely, yes.
Because I remember I was up with my mom, so. Yeah, I feel like it might have been, but. Yeah, it was. I also had Charlie in one and done that year last year, too, so I could have really used that. Not that it would have helped in the end, but I might have even had an outright bet on him, too, so that would have been nice.
It'll be interesting to see what we think of him when we get to the 8Ks. It is the Charlie Hoffman Open, so it only makes sense that we talk about him a lot. But before we talk
You need this event to talk a lot about him.
Right, but I probably said his name 20 times already in the first 10 minutes of this podcast, which probably is not too far off par, quite frankly.
No.
Are we ready to get into the players?
Yes.
Well, let's do so, and we'll start at the top. Rory McIlroy is 11-2, Hideki Matsuyama 10-8, Jordan Spieth, the defending champs, 10-6, Abe Anser 10-3, Bryson DeChambeau 10-2. Skeeter, you got a favorite here.
Yeah, I have two, and then I have no interest in anybody else. My top one's Rory. I mean, what a shock. He rates out extremely well across all range models. Last 100, last 50, last 36, he's first. Last 24, last 12, second. Like, he's just going to be, he's going to be a very popular play. Second tee to green, first opportunities gained. Second birdies are better. Fourth in bogey avoidance, fifth in scrambling, 10th in par 5 strokes gained over the past 36 rounds. Everything just kind of matches. He's the class of the field. 11-2, the only knock on him is he hasn't played here before. At least I don't think he has, but whatever. It's Rory. He'll figure it out. I mean, he didn't play match play, but he's playing this, so that's kind of an odd concept. But you know what? He's not priced high enough for me to want to avoid him. The popularity might get me away from him, but the price is not prohibitive.
I don't have a guy that I love in this tier. I know pretty well who I don't like more than anything else. I guess my favorite is Spieth. I mean, I'm with you. Rory's fine. I don't know. Is he going to win this event? I just look at Rory's past couple of finishes. The T10 at Genesis was great, but I don't know. I feel like I need him to win this event in order for him to be my favorite. I'll go with Spieth, but the truth of the matter is I'll probably set most of my lineups without anyone at 10K.
Okay. Well, this will be interesting because I'm almost wondering if my second favorite to play is your fade.
Well, let's find out.
I mean, you're if it is, you won't completely be fading because you'll be playing him in our league. It's Bryson.
You're correct.
He's your fade?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Let me know why, brother.
Okay, now, I realize he showed up last week. He wasn't terrible. Like, he was rusty, but he wasn't bad at match play. Like, he wasn't getting blitzed out of the field.
Yeah, but look at his bracket, dude. I mean, all due respect to Richard Bland, but look at his bracket.
Well, I understand, but, you know, he was probably using that as a warm-up. And yes, he might be using this as a warm-up, but if this is a course, I've heard the term bomb and gouge this week. You know, if Valero's a field you can do that on. Wasn't Bryson kind of the master of that? Like,
that is true, yes.
I mean, over 36 rounds, he's still number one in birdies with better second opportunities gained, first in par fives, fourth in putting. I realize the recent numbers are there, but he's 10-2. Like, I get why Spieth's higher, especially at this course in Texas. An answer coming off a pretty good match play, but Bryson at 10-2, like, there's a couple guys maybe I'm just buying the sucker name in the long-term form versus the short-term, but there's a couple guys this week that just feel like underpriced in this particular field. Bryce is one of them. I think I'm just kind of ready to make a stand with him, and I bet him at 28-1. Like, that's just a crazy number, because what if he does just figure it out?
Everything you say makes sense. I guess my number two is Abe Anser. Again, I really don't think I'm going into this tier a lot. I'll use Hideki in our league, obviously, but I'm going Anser. I don't know. He's from Texas. I know he's not exactly from San Antonio. I don't have a ton of reason to love him. I simply just don't love this tier, as I said. Bryson is my fade, and the reason I'm fading him, I just don't know what we're getting yet from him. But you make a good point. Like, I got no argument with the way you lay it out there, because when you get a star at a reduced price, you know that there's an opportunity for them to always be the best player in the field, and Bryson is certainly capable of that. I'm just worried about the fact that he's played three rounds since the injuries, and he missed, I don't know if it was 2 months, but it felt like it was really close to it.
Right. No, I get it. I just think that he has enough prep in his game that he'll be fine.
Who are you fading?
It's going to be Anser for me. I mean, I realize he played well last week. There's going to be the local narrative of, you know, he lives in southern Texas, you know, grew up in Mexico, so he's going to have his legion of fans, but in four appearances here, his best finish is 23rd. That's just not going to cut it here at his price point at 10-3. And even over long, you know, 36 rounds, nothing really jumps out statistically. So I think in combination of him being popular enough, coming off a good match play, and actually, no, he's actually 10%, but there's just not enough numbers there for me to like him. So for me, that's a fade.
That's fair. And again, I'm grasping at straws in this tier because I'm just not sure I love it. There's some names I like in 9K. We'll see if we're on or off the same players there as we take it to 9K. And it's Corey Connors at 98, Siwoo Kim's 96, Matt McNeely 95, Chris Kirk 94, Gary Woodland 93, Keegan Bradley's 92, Tony Finau's 91, Jason Day 9K even. Skeeter, where are you going as your top dog in the 9Ks?
I told you I like Bryson because it feels like he's a little underpriced, even if, you know, form isn't great. Well, let's go right back here. Tony Finau, 9,100, is a massive value to me. His approach numbers have been good. I mean, he missed 2.5 at the Players, but again, the Players is kind of just a throwout event. His last match, I think he just destroyed Xander on Friday. So I think I had Xander coming out of that pot. I think I even bet on
as did I.
He got... I mean, Finau just annihilated him. So, you know, that's always a good sign when you see somebody play well in the last round before a turn, you know, even if they get cut or whatever, or in this case didn't advance. But I think it's just a really good number. His Arabic green is putting, of course, are struggles. Putting is nothing new for a struggle. But those approach numbers are kind of starting to come in, and I think he's actually had a decent little history here, or at least I know he's had a top finish. I think, was he sixth last year? No, he missed last year. He had a third in 2017. So it's, I mean, not great, 61st, 68th, but just a talent on this price, you know, 9,100, especially compared to some of the other names above him, like, he's better than those guys, and his form isn't, his finishes aren't great, but it looks like he's kind of close, so I'm willing to take a chance on him at 9,100. And I think I bet him at 40-1. I missed some early 50s on him, but I got him at 40-1.
I can't argue with that number. Is Chris Kirk going to be popular?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be crazy popular? Because I want to say he's my favorite, but...
Yes.
I don't want to be on 25% Chris Kirk, but how do you argue his course history, three top tens in the last 8 years or whatever, maybe 7 years, missed the cut at the Players, but was T5 and T7 and T14 in his last three events before that. Chris Kirk's been on fire. Now, maybe he lost some of that mojo at the Players. Maybe it was simply the Players, as we've said for a few weeks now. I am afraid of him being crazy popular, but at 9,400, I've been riding Chris Kirk, and it's been an enjoyable ride this spring, so I'm going to stick with it.
The price is fair. The stats are fair. The history is fair. This is just a pure ownership. It looks like he's going to come around 20%. I mean, he's one what is he at right now on DraftKings for me? He is 25-1. Like, okay, would I rather bet Chris Kirk at 25-1 or Bryson at 28-1? Like,
I don't think I'll bet Kirk. I think I'll use him in DFS.
That's fair. I'm okay with that.
And yeah, I'm looking the same. 25-1 on Chris Kirk. Like, that is kind of crazy. But that makes me like him here, and I guess I'll have to differentiate elsewhere. I can't get away from calling him my favorite no matter what.
All right.
Where else are you going in this tier if you don't use Finau or if you use a couple?
I mean, not far behind the popularity of Chris Kirk will be Gary Woodland, and I'm assuming you're probably be on him too.
Of course. It's been the Gary Woodland Chris Kirk ticket parade for me at the sportsbook for the last month. So absolutely, he's probably my number two. And the guy right below him I've been using a lot too, so yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, Keegan's another one I'm kind of looking at. Like, I'm not playing Kirk just because of pure the ownership parts, but I don't know. Woodland or Keegan I gotta make a decision on. I like them both. Woodland, much better all around. Keegan, better approach, but can't make a putt to save his life. Like, and they're so close price-wise. Popularity-wise, Woodland is much more popular than Keegan. But I almost wonder if I'm playing Bryson, if maybe I just make a rule where I avoid Rory Woodland starts, because I'm assuming those are going to be pretty popular. Maybe I'll be okay with that.
So I think Woodland's my number two. As I just said, I also like Keegan Bradley. I said I didn't like the 10Ks a whole lot, and that's because I think I have room for Corey Connors and Siwoo Kim on my list of players I want to use here as well. Obviously, I'm not going to use all five of those in the same lineup, but I think those are all guys I could be talked into. But I'll say Gary Woodland my number two simply because, one, I love the guy. He's one of my favorites to cheer for. And two, he's been good for me lately.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been playing really well. I don't think he minds if this gets a little windy. So Woodland is solid across all the numbers over the past 36 rounds. Really solid 6 and par 5 strokes gained is his best stat, but everything else is top 30. Like, nothing great, but nothing bad. I don't think that's always a bad thing at 9,300. Keegan, again, top 10 in all the approach numbers, tee to green, approach, opportunities gained, just the putter kind of leads him astray.
Are we fading the same player? I'll get your name first.
I think it's going to be Mav McNealy. Playing well, but I like him better West Coast and small greens, and I don't think Texas comes across a small green. So he's my fade. And the only reason it's probably not yours is because I think if you choose the one I'm thinking of, he's like below 3% ownership, and that always is, I'm not playing him, but that would always have some intrigue to me.
I considered Mav, but because I like Connors, excuse me, Siwoo, Kirk around him, the odds of me using McNealy are slim. But I think it's got to be Jason Day. As much as I enjoyed the ride at Pebble Beach and the brief hole out for Eagle to tie for the lead, that's been about it for J-Day for me. It was the Farmers. I'm sorry, not Pebble Beach. That's been about it for J-Day. He's missed the cut the last couple of times out. I just can't get on Jason Day right now. He's had family problems, right? His mom just died. He has been playing poorly for a while, besides a few flashes. There's just too many reasons for me not to play Jason Day. Now, you bring up ownership. Maybe that is a reason to consider him. I mean, he's he's been world number one, but he's just not for me today.
No, I understand. Again, the only reason I would even consider him is because he's low single digits, and there's always in golf, I think, a justification that you could use to play him.
I can't argue that. I like Jason Day, so I wouldn't be happy to see him succeed this week. Or I wouldn't be upset, I should say. I said that completely wrong.
I knew what you meant.
Shall we go to the 8Ks?
Yes.
Let's do it. It's Adam Hadwin at 89, Kevin Streelman's 87, Johnny Vegas 86, Luke List 85, Davis Riley 84, Russell Knox 83, the Seagull, Charlie Hoffman, in his very own Hoffman Open, 8,200. Mito Pereira's 81. Patton Kizzire's 8K. And so's Ryan Palmer. I like a couple of these guys too, Skeeter, besides the obvious one. Who's your favorite in 8K?
I've actually bet two guys in this tier. And my favorite one's Luke List. I got him at 60-1. Like, the guy just won at Farmers. Why is he a higher price or higher odds than, like, Troy Merritt? Like, why is Jason... maybe I guess I, Jason Day, I get, like... Bobby Mack, who I do like, but I'm not sure here. Ryan Palmer, why is he... I mean, Ryan Palmer hasn't done much recently. Luke List has won a Premier tournament. Again, it's going to be the putting that's going to be the issue with Luke List, but he's number one tee to green. He's top 10, par 5, birdies are better, opportunity gained approach, good bogey avoidance. This, I mean, I'm just going to play the form here. 8,500 for Luke List. Stats work out well. He's already won. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense to me. I don't remember what his history here is. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. 17th last year, miscut's 29th, 46th. Not a horrible history, so I'll take Luke List here.
Do you know who else finished 17th here last year? It's a loaded question. I'm sure there are multiple players that did. Ryan Palmer. And I'm going to need you to settle down on the Ryan Palmer slander, because yes, he did miss the cut in 2019 and 2018. He had a 6th, a 4th, and a 6th the 3 years before that. I like Ryan Palmer at 8K. He's not my favorite, but he might be my number 2. He's certainly in the mix and one of the guys I'm going to play. I don't know if he's my favorite. I guess he's not. I think I'm going with Johnny Vegas as my favorite.
Yeah.
I actually had to use him in a league I'm in where I had to set a lineup for Corrales. And so it's a two and done. You're familiar with this old league. I used Johnny Vegas and Thigala, and 5 other people used the same 2 that I used. But Johnny Vegas coming off the 4th was decent the week before at Valspar too with the 27th. So I'm going Johnny Vegas here as my favorite, I think, at 8,600. This field has some good names up top, but it's not a crazy strong field. I think Johnny Vegas can compete in this one.
Yeah, he'll be moderately popular, like around 15%, but again, rates out really well. Tee to green approach, birdies are better, bogey avoidance, which is that's a nice combination I always like. Scrambling is a little bit of a concern. Plus, if you want to play the narrative, he did go to the University of Texas in Austin, so that's only about an hour and a half away. So, you know, there is some truth to that one.
I'd like his course history to be better, but I think I'm going with him. Where are you going at number 2 here?
I think I'm gonna go all the way down to 8K. I'm gonna go the opposite one of you and Pat Kizzire.
Okay.
He played really well in Texas last year. I think he had a bunch of top 10s when he was down here. But good numbers with approach. Birdies are better. Bogey avoidance. Scrambling. Par 5s. You know, he kind of has his own little areas where he plays well. Texas seems to be one of them. But he's made his past 5 cuts. 33rd at Valspar. 22nd at the Players. 32 API. 61st at Genesis. 10th at Phoenix. Game strokes on approach at all of them. Off the tee, a little bit of a concern at the Players, but that could be everybody. So I think 8K, he actually has a really nice, I think it's a nice number on him. And he's 55-1, which I don't know if I'll bet it, but it does make some sense.
It's not a bad number. I don't hate him either. I think I am going to have to go Ryan Palmer as my number 2. And quite frankly, if people are scared of him because of what he's done in the last month, that's great. Ryan Palmer plays really good here. Ryan Palmer plays really good at the Farmers. Do you know what he was T16 at the Farmers. So maybe I'm just like digging to find a narrative for the guy I like, but I do like Ryan Palmer. And the reality is he plays well at certain places and he continues to do so. I'm sure I'll be telling you the same thing at the Memorial in a couple of weeks, well, a month or whatever. Played good at the Farmers. I know it's not exactly a comp course and he has missed 3 or 4 cuts since, but he plays really good here. I'm going to go with Ryan Palmer and hope that this is maybe where I get differentiation as opposed to like Chris Kirk, Gary Woodland.
I mean, he's a Texas guy, so that makes sense. Yep. All right, dude, I think it's time for the discussion.
He's my fade, dude. Like, what do you want me to say? I love the guy, and I hope I'm dead wrong, and I'll bet him because ABC, you always bet him. Zozo, T28. Since then, there hasn't been, and that was October, late October. There hasn't been a single time Charlie Hoffman's been worth having in a lineup since. I love the guy. His back ain't right. He's not playing well. He's going to be popular, I would guess, given the fact that he's been, what, the runner-up finish here, 2 years running, along with a win a few years before that. I mean, give me a reason besides just sheer blind fandom to play him.
The history. I mean, I'm
the
not...
same reason I just said Ryan Palmer. The difference is because Ryan Palmer's been playing bad, too, but Ryan Palmer doesn't appear to be hurt.
But Palmer also doesn't have a win here, 2 seconds and a third.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. I mean,
granted, it's still a very nice history, but it's just, it's hard for me when I see Charlie Hoffman's numbers. The fact that he hasn't missed a cut here over the past 8 years as well, with a win, two seconds, a third, and 2 elevenths. Like, there's a reason this is dubbed the Charlie Hoffman Invitational. I am not playing him on DraftKings, but at 75-1, that's where I'm going to get my exposure. That way, if he does pop up again, okay, I got live money on him. And if he doesn't, well, so there's another lost bet. That's nothing new for me at this point.
Same here.
You know, and he doesn't hurt me on DraftKings. So I think this is the classic better bet than DraftKings play.
I don't disagree with that. And like I said, you know I'm going to bet him. And let's face facts. You know I'm going to have a lineup or two with him in it, too. It just is what it is.
Right.
If that's $25 I burned between the book and the DraftKings, so be it. It's happening. But the reality is I can make no logical argument for it other than the course history, which is a fact. And he was kind of struggling last year, right? He didn't qualify for the Masters because his OWGR had fallen out of qualification and still popped really good here. So I'll be cheering for it. I'll be betting it. But my logical brain, my brain and my heart are different here. I'm going to throw some money where my heart wants to. But my brain has to say he makes for a very easy fade in the logic if you took the name off of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Who are you fading?
Charlie. Because it's a DraftKings. It's a That's DraftKings fair. Fade. It's he will be bet for me as far as
I'm gonna take back. I do have to take back everything I just said. My fade will be Davis Riley, only because I can't sleep well tonight if I fade Charlie Hoffman. So I have to take it back.
All right, that's fair.
Even if the logic says to leave it there. All right, should we go to 7K?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. We got plenty of names here to go through and some decent names here as well. Skeeter, is there one that pops out to you as an absolute gotta play?
So I was getting a time code. No, nobody jumps out to me as one like I really liked, but there are guys that I do like. I guess the one that kind of, let me make sure I remember this correctly. Not that much. Okay. It's this little $7,600. Actually, I like everybody at $7,600. How's that?
Okay.
Doug Gim, another Texas guy, played well again at the Players, second year in a row, so he's figured something out about that. Decent approach, decent tee to green, good proximity from 150 to 175. Doesn't make a ton of birdies, which is a little bit of a concern, but 18th in bogey avoidance, 11th par 5 strokes gain. That one kind of jumped out to me a little bit. The other guy who I really like at 7,500 would be Marty Laird. Former winner here. We've seen him play well in desert places. And yes, I know. Sorry. I hate to bring up the Vegas one again because you know, when he beat Wolf in that playoff.
I hear Marty Laird, and the first thing I think is Shriners playoff 2020.
Well, he's won that twice, but he's won here as well. So maybe there's something to the fact of he wins the courses that he plays well at. But 9th tee to green, 10th in approach, 14th opportunities gained, 2nd in proximity, good par 5, good bogey avoidance. He just can't putt, but if it gets windy, again, being a Scottish, that shouldn't bother him. 7,500, I think, is a very fair price on Marty Laird, former champion.
You mentioned the other guys at 7,600. KH Lee's got a really good course history here when I was scrolling through. Yeah. He was one that popped before I really started looking. This might be foolish. I'm interested in playing some Richard Bland at 7,200.
Okay.
He's got to be bringing some good confidence out of the Dell match play. And as much as I kind of poo-pooed Bryson and his injury, Bland still stood toe-to-toe with him. He's got to be feeling good confidence. I mean, he did go toe-to-toe with he took out Lee Westwood.
Jerk.
I don't – hey, Lee Westwood stood up for Richard Bland, too, afterwards.
No. Just being
I know,
Lee
he's
Westwood
a jerk for taking out your boy. I know what you're saying.
And yes, I might play a Lee Westwood lineup just because, well, I have to. And you better believe I'm playing a lineup with him next week at the Masters.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one bit. But I guess, I don't know. My favorite player here, I don't know. I'm having trouble. Like, I'm with you. There are certain guys I like. I'll go Bland. I'll go Bland because 7,200 is an easy price to fit in, and he just feels like he's playing with some confidence enough that I feel like he'll make a cut and maybe make a push. I don't know. I'm much more into the 7 or the 8 and the 9Ks than I am the 7Ks.
Yeah. I mean, he did have a second this year over in Europe, or I think it was the Middle East.
Yeah, the Dubai Desert Classic.
Yeah. Again, he. I mean, won his group. I mean, he was 2 up on DJ at 1 point early in that match. And, you know, he made himself viable, so I don't hate that. He'll be somebody worth considering again. I think Poulter here, doesn't do anything fancy, but I think at 7,700 in this field, Poulter kind of feels like someone I can play. If I can get over Brendan Steele's putting, he's got a decent history here as well. Troy Merritt's has some good bogey avoidance numbers, good proximity numbers. Dylan Fratelli, another one, if it gets a little windy, I think he can kind of make sense. Not great over 36 rounds, but I think he's a little better short-term. Yeah, short-term models, he's been playing a little bit better. Matthew Neesmith is going to be the statistical superstar here of this. All the stat models are going to love him with his approach and things like that. And then one other name at 7K, besides Lee Westwood, who, of course, I will probably play. Bo Hostler, good bogey avoidance, good birdies are better, good putter. He's had success before the Texas the week before the Masters. He lost to Poulter in a playoff the year Poulter won at Houston. So, I know that's probably a horrible reason, but that's just something that comes to mind for me.
Talking course history, what about Matt Kuchar?
I saw that.
16th 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that one I might have to investigate a little bit more in. Yeah, recent numbers aren't terrible. Let's see. Yeah, it was all around the green for Valspar for him. Probably not, but he's on my intrigue radar.
Sahith Theegala, a 7th at Valspar, a 22nd at the Granite Off event a week ago, but 2 decent finishes in a row. He do anything for you?
Missing the players, Mr. API was okay. Maybe he just did like Florida until Valspar. It took him a little bit to get used to Florida. Yeah, he rates out fine. I think talent-wise, I mean, if we're looking for upside, yeah, you probably could make an argument I should be playing him over Poulter or Steele at this point, or maybe Lair, because he's got better upside. If he's in contention, I'll root for the guy. He seems very likable, and I love, like, when his whole family was there at Phoenix. Like, I felt bad for him, like, he seems like a really, really cool guy. And I think even, you know, he had that tough Sunday but he got a pretty big round of applause when he finished at Phoenix. So I think he earned some fans that week, myself included.
What about a crew at 7,100 that have raised my eyebrows? Anirban Lahiri, I'm a fan, who really popped
up. Did he play well here last year?
What's that?
Did he play well here last year? Is he like top 20 last
year?
Where am I making that up? Oh, he was 5th last year here.
Yeah, there you go, 5th. Yeah.
He was top 20. He was also a little better than that.
But you're top 20 cashed. So I like him at 7,100. He's a guy I've kind of been a fan of for a long time. Pat Perez at 7,100. I think he's had some good finishes here. Kramer Hickok. Those are all guys at 7,100 that are piquing my interest, should they be.
Let's see, Kramer Hickok, history, 2 missed cuts. Pat Perez, not great recent. He has 2014, 2015, back-to-back top 20s. I mean, I've used those guys recently, so I'm not going to knock you for it. Not gotcha. On my radar this week yet.
Fair enough. Anyone else in the positive before we talk about the negative?
I don't have anybody else. I think I mentioned everybody I wanted to mention.
Who, if anyone, are you fading in this field?
Oh, one more guy I probably should at least look at more. Lucas Glover has a history here.
Oh, I saw that. He hasn't been playing very good. He's Lucas Glover. If I use him, he'll be terrible. If I don't use him, he'll be good. I don't think I'm going to use him. So he'll be good.
All right. my fade, I don't have a legitimate fade here. Chad Ramey, just because he won last week and, you know, coming off a first win, is he really going to turn around? You know, probably a little excited. And, you know, now he's gets to be in some of these feature groups and might be a little bit of a win-week adjustment.
Can the obvious fade be Ricky Fowler? Back-to-back 17ths here. So even in his recent years of struggle, and I get it, 2020 they didn't play, so it's 2019 and 2021. I mean, can I fade 7,700 Ricky Fowler, a guy who's had two consecutive top 20s here and has made three cuts in a row?
I mean, you can.
Is it time to stop fading him?
I mean, his putter's been bad recently. And the one week at Honda, his putter was really good. His approach was awful, so... I don't think you can fade him. I'm not going to play him.
I think he's my fade, but he is showing some signs of life, and I wouldn't mind seeing him continue to do so, but I think he's my fade.
Live bet him if he's showing any sort of life.
I can't do that yet unless I travel. Sports betting is coming to Kentucky soon. I'll still have to make my trip to Indiana in the meantime.
Oh, okay.
But soon. It's coming soon. It's going to save me so much gas. I'm excited.
Well, hey, where your gas prices are, that's probably worth it.
And the time. I should be more excited about the time. But anyway, shall we go to the 6Ks?
Yes.
Are you going to the 6Ks?
I hope not. I don't have much I don't have much like in the 6Ks. I have a couple guys who kind of jumped out stat-wise, but I can already see that they're getting some attention. One being Austin Smotherman at 6,800. 17th in approach, 6 opportunities gained, 20th in the proximity range. Not the best putter, not the best scrambler, so that is a slight concern. But at least stats-wise, he does pop out a little bit. 25th at Valspar, 11th at Farmers, 33rd at Pebble. Missed horribly at Punta Cana, so maybe, but that's probably why he's down there. And then the other one, JJ Spahn, who I think he's got some Texas narrative, I think. Maybe I'm just making that up. But he was solid Valspar. His approach number has been pretty good. Putter has been a bit off, but he's only missed 3 cuts this year and everything else. He's got a few top 30s, a couple top 25s. I don't hate that at 6,700.
I don't really have a favorite in 6K.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you there's 3 different guys I like at 7,100. That's the kind of combo that'll keep you out of 6K more often than not. Look, I can tell you I love Jim Herman because I do. He's a great Cincinnatian. I don't know if I'm going to go to 6,200 Richie Werenski as a goof because of a typo a couple of weeks ago. I bet on him, and he ended up finishing T21. He's had, now granted, one was Puerto Rico, but he was T28 at Puerto Rico. He was T21 at Valspar. That's 2 out of 3 good performances in the last group. He is a guy I kind of keep my eye on, but at 6,200, he seems, if I'm tempted to go like near bare minimum, that's where I'd be looking.
I mean, the only other one, bare minimum, would be 6,100 Guido, but he's been terrible over in Europe.
Yeah, I was looking at some names, like Bronson Burgoon is stone minimum, too, or real close, too. Like, some names that I was interested in before. He's 6K, like, but I don't know that I can go to him now, even though he was a guy I would have used at 7K maybe a year ago.
Actually, I take this back. I just found a 6K guy that, if you were desperate... Guy didn't play last year, but he's made 7 straight cuts with a fifth and 3 other top 20s. As I'm looking here, he missed at Punta Cana last week. He was 20th at Puerto Rico, missed at Pebble, But, you know, what type of nationality always plays well in Texas?
The Aussies, oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, Aussie. Aaron Baddeley at 6K. Is not the worst 6K play I've ever seen in my life.
When you started on the stuff that you were saying there, I ended up on PU. Maybe he's a decent 6K play.
Uline?
36.
Punta Cana. Did he do something recently on the Corn Ferry Tour?
He finished 2nd on the Corn Ferry Tour a week ago.
Okay.
But around that, he was 55th at Honda, 38th at Puerto Rico, 36th at Punta Cana, 6K again. I don't love the 10K tier enough to think that I might end up here, but if I want to load up on some of those 9K guys I told you I liked about, maybe I do end up getting down here. Because when you started talking Baddeley, I thought you were talking Peter Uihlein until I like actually clicked on it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into it for no good reason.
No, Ulon. Hmm. Does he? He has to have a history here, doesn't he?
I don't know that without looking, because I wasn't cuts. On.
Okay, so he's not like Valero.
Not yet, anyway. Maybe that's why he's 6K.
Hold on. You just... Peter Uline and Aaron Baddeley start. You have 9,500. You can play Rory... You can play anybody you want.
Forget that. You can play Kirk, Woodland, Connors, and Siwoo with them, probably, with ease.
Oh, yeah, Kirk.
No, I mean, I know you like Rory maybe more than I do, but the idea being if I did want to load up on all those 9K guys, I guess I could in a way.
You said Kirk, Woodland, Siwoo, and Connors?
Yeah, it might be just a hair over.
Yeah, 100 over.
Still, I could figure that out, right? I could figure something out there. Maybe it's Keegan instead of Woodland.
Right, or Finau. I don't hate it. I'm not playing it, but, you know, I don't hate that combination.
My 10 lineup strategy may end up finding something very similar. It might be Werenski and Uline as opposed to Baddeley, just because those are the two guys I got on. But if I'm smart, I'll be on the guy you were on, since, let's face it, you've been way better than I have been for a solid month, if not a solid year at this.
Well, this season, yeah. I mean, last year was bad. Like, 2021 was not good for me for DraftKings. 2022, since I've gone to the 5 lineup approach, has been better for me, a lot better for me.
It's been so good, I'm ready to start giving you money and taking what you give me back.
Well, except you see, that's the problem, is once you do that, then it's just going to go downhill for me.
That's correct. That's when your streak ends. I know. Not I know. Because, that's why I won't jump on and ruin
just,
it.
You know, anytime I'm relied upon, like, oh, hey, he knows what he's doing. He's doing well. It's just the inevitable crash.
I hear you. No, I totally agree with you. That is how it works. I guess I don't know that I've specifically set a favorite play. Does Brandon Grace do anything for you? I feel like he's got a decent course history, but hasn't been playing great.
Where is he at?
6,900.
Brandon Grace. I mean,
his course history is really nice.
If it's windy, I mean, he likes himself a wind. No. I mean, 33rd is best at the Tournament of Champions. Just has not. His approach numbers have been bad. Maybe cut the players out of nowhere.
I feel like I'd be better suited to just find a way to get up to Bo Hostler if I was thinking about Brendan Grace, right?
I mean, I would personally.
I mean, hell, I may be better off just using my boy Minwoo Lee from our league. Okay, maybe not.
He was a little feisty last week.
Which was good to see, considering I took a total world golf ranking flyer on him in our draft, knowing essentially nothing about him.
Well, don't worry, I don't know who... I don't even know if I have 6 guys this week for our league.
I'm thinking I do, but unfortunately 3 of the 6 are probably in 6K, so we'll see how effective that is.
I mean, that still might be better off than me, who, again, I'm, as I said, I don't even know if I have 6 guys playing this week.
A stray bullet is better than no bullet, I suppose, right?
I mean, I have Higo, Westwood, Pan, Riley, Laird. I don't know if I have a 6th. Let's have to use Vincent Whaley. Oh, man.
Well, again, that's better than better than no one. Oh, you got Chez. All right.
All right. So I can feel a team. It's not going to – I mean, this is not going to be a great week for me because, you know, my first 5 draft picks are out. But hey, I have choices next week in the Masters, so.
That is a good thing.
It's in a small field. I'll take it.
Anything else from 6K that you like? I would think no.
No.
I don't know that I have a fade. My fade's going to be Sam Saunders because he's an imposter because he's not the real Sam Saunders.
Wait, who's the real Sam Saunders?
Arnold Palmer's grandson.
Oh, it's not the same one?
The 6K Sam Saunders, from what I read yesterday when he qualified for this tournament, is a different Sam Saunders.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like the Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson was...
Was not the real one?
Yeah.
No, he is, but let's be honest. I don't know anything about this other one. You know who I'm going to fade? I'm going to fade Jake Kevorkian, because it sounds like Jack Kevorkian. That's the dumbest thing you're going to hear today.
I won't argue. I will fade Logan McAllister, because he has 0 rounds on Fantasy National, so I don't know anything about him.
That's probably a good reason. Do we have anything else from the DraftKings perspective here?
No.
Well, Skeeter in one and done.
Why?
I couldn't decide if I wanted to go with Keegan Bradley or Xander Schauffele. I can't remember who else I was hemming and hawing about. Let me tell you that all the time I spent trying to figure out who I wanted to use, the only thing I did successfully was take Xander Schauffele out of my player pool.
Okay.
Because I used him, and let's face it, 58K is not what you want from Xander Schauffele.
I mean, I use Russell Henley, so I mean, we're just trotting along here with my wonderful one and done.
As James Adams, do I have to just pick Charlie Hoffman this week and move on?
You don't have to, but you certainly could.
But in 3,600th place, well out of the money, is there any other move for me besides to just go ahead and click on Charlie and move on?
I mean, you could copy my move and just choose Bryson.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that.
I don't hate your move. I mean,
he's probably who I'm playing just because.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to compete. I don't know how much longer this will last, but give me elite player that not many people are going to use with question marks, Bryson. And, you know, maybe I dumb luck stumble upon this, but that's my reasoning.
I need to get back to work, and I need to get back to the hours of just walking around weed eating, allowing my brain to think. Because you have made many more sound, logical points, I think, than I have today. Your point on choosing Bryson this week makes a ton of sense. He's a world-class player in a field where he is one of the top four players, I'd say, without any question. And he's not going to get highly used. He actually makes a ton of sense from a game theory point.
I mean, if you really want to do that, take Rory, because as popular as he's going to be in DFS, he's not going to be popular in one and done because everybody's saving him for a major.
Well, not me. I used him at Genesis. Don't worry about that.
Oh, well, okay, well.
So I can't use Rory. By the way, he wasn't very good at Genesis, if I remember. Yeah, he was. Oh, that's right. He was good early. He finished T10, so I take it back. He was good, but wasn't he like leading after the first round and then just coasted to the T10? I don't recall that, but I think that's accurate.
I mean, it's better than me using DJ Genesis where he got cut, so.
That's fair. I've got Hoffman locked in now, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Anything else from the Charlie Hoffman Open, a.k.a. Valero Texas Open, before we put a wrap on it? And, well, from here on out, it's Masters time.
Yeah, Masters pricing came out today. I see brief look at it, but I don't know enough to be ready to talk about it. But, you know, outside of the, you know, it's nice to see that we're back to some traditions unlike any other, like Paul Casey at 7,600. You know, it's nice to see that we get Paul Casey 7,600 major pricing, so I appreciate that.
He did that for you by not playing the match play plays.
Hey, I appreciate that because I had Louie, that got me some bonus money in that group, so I appreciate Paul Casey's efforts.
If you're going to be a degenerate like me and just load up on Millie Makers for the Masters, everyone should be aware, if you're a crown accumulating person like myself, now's the time to at least register those lineups. You don't have to set them. You can always adjust them. But if you're going to try and get those daily crown allotments for lineups, don't forget that too.
Yep.
Anything else, Skeeter?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't know if I've hit the over-under on Charlie Hoffman references yet. So once again, the Charlie Hoffman Open is this week. Good luck to everyone, including Charlie Hoffman and you, Skeeter.
I will take it. I will have to play weekend tournaments because this was one a couple of years ago that I won like $2,000 in the Corey Connors year.
I was at the soccer game and you had sent, I remember because I was watching it obviously just as a Hoffman fan, tailgating for the soccer game when UC still hosted FC Cincinnati. I remember being at the game, you were firing me that lineup. I was like, oh, this is killer. So I do remember that actually.
In fact, it was the easiest $1,500 loss I ever had because all my golfers finished. I was winning $3,500. But Corey Connors was still, you know, there was somebody behind me with Corey Connors. I didn't use him that week or for weekend because I was like, okay, he's got a fade away. Nope. And he was going to get, you know, no matter what he did, par, birdie, whatever, he was going to get the under 70 weekend bonus, which was enough which that plus a par birdie was enough to knock me from like second to third. So that's why I said it was the easiest $1,500 loss I'll ever have, because I knew it was coming, and there was nothing that... It was like, I think he could have tripled the hole and still gotten...
If I'm not mistaken, I remember, yeah, you were like, unless he literally did need to, like, go in the water twice or something.
Yeah, even then, he had to have some just major disaster, and it just was not happening.
Skeeter, I hope that happens to you again this week, because I hope you cash a high third place finish. I would be ecstatic to cash a third place finish this week and take that $1,500 loss some point.
I mean, hey, if I'm losing $1,500 to you, I'm fine with that.
If I'm losing to anybody, I'm fine with that, because that means I had a good enough lineup where if that's the difference between whatever place I finish in that, that means I still cash for a pretty good amount.
That's also a good point.
Well, Skeeter, good luck to you this week. Good luck to everybody listening. Good luck once again to Charlie Hoffman in his own Charlie Hoffman Open. I can't wait for the autobiography about the Charlie Hoffman Open. I will read it. The book will be by, of course, Charlie Hoffman. I think I've hit the over now. So with that, good luck to you. Skeeter, thank you. Thanks for everybody for listening. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson, and this has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.